My name is Garrett Felix. I'm the Information Security Officer with Metafit Corporate Services in the United States. And I'm here to talk today about one size doesn't fit all. Are we missing the point with vendor risk? And my whole purpose for putting this presentation together is we've really seen sort of, at least from my standpoint, I'm being a company that is a vendor of other companies, and also from my role as Information Security Officer, sir, in terms of dealing with vendors that we are bringing on board to work with us as an organization, seen sort of a one-size-fits-all approach to how we assess vendor risk. And really getting away from the personalized aspect of dealing with vendors. And even to the point of where the vendors will say, here's a 40-page risk assessment, fill it out, get it back to us type thing. And without any, you know, consideration for what's being brought onto the table, what the vendor's bringing to the organization, and so forth. So that's where this whole presentation came about. During the presentation, I'm going to talk briefly about, you know, sort of this whole, continue to talk about this whole one-size-fits-all approach, some risks and pitfalls that we've seen with the approach. You know, is there really a value with an individualized approach to vendor risk assessment, and maybe some steps that, you know, people can take in their organizations to evaluate their vendor risk assessment methodology and maybe tweak it for a more individualized and maybe an approach that will help their organization either keep some costs down or also streamline the integration of the vendor into the hiring company. So, you know, we look to vendors in terms of, you know, primarily what cost, efficiency, productivity, implementation of something. I mean, we don't have the internal resources that we can really allocate it sometimes. And we understand, you know, we can't be the best at everything. You know, point in time, you know, we look for vendors to suit whatever our, you know, the needs we might have in the organizations and help them with roles. Into it, we may be bringing those vendors in to maybe possibly reduce risk if it's a security vendor we're looking at. A lot of times it's not a security, you know, vendor that we're considering. They're fulfilling another role or need within the organization. And at that point, you know, we might be comfortable with the risk that we already have, but as soon as we bring them on board, of course, you know, we need to understand how our threat landscape changes in terms of what ways that vendor is going to interact with our customer base, with our employees, with other contractors we might have in place. You know, of course, assess what types of weaknesses or vulnerabilities that they have that could be translated over to us or, you know, any of the others, our customers and so forth. You know, of course, you know, we can sit there and talk about why you do vendor risk assessment, any risk assessment, and, you know, it can be legislative reasons. It could be, you know, to protect our assets, just general good practices, you know, and due diligence in the organization. But I mean, it's really become a core competency of any organization, and a Gartner study in 2009, you know, reiterated that statement saying, you know, it's important to manage vendor risk. It is a core competency within organizations today, and without that, you're only exposing your organization to greater risks and pitfalls. From a vendor risk assessment strategy, you know, and from, you know, in our experience, you know, a lot of times we're seeing that we don't, you know, people and organizations aren't realizing that one size of vendor risk assessment, one methodology, just doesn't fit all scenarios and also all vendors that you might want to bring on board. In terms of, you know, one of the biggest pitfalls that we've seen is just the lack of communication during the whole vendor vetting process. A lot of times someone within the organization is leading the charge to either assess vendors for, you know, as potential business partners to bring, you know, to work with as the organization. And sometimes, you know, that's, you know, we have them there, but in terms of them reaching out, necessarily reach out to the right people at the right time. You have, you'll have security, or it might be risk management or legal within the organization that says, okay, you're going to bring this vendor on board. We're just going to, here's our risk assessment. We're shoving it down to procurement. Procurement knows that as soon as anybody's going to get vetted, it goes out to them. They don't even want, you know, it's a streamline. It makes it easier on them. To, you know, they're doing their due diligence, you know, risk assessment. However, at that point, they don't understand what that vendor is going to be bringing to the organization. The only people that really do are the people leading the charge, but they're sort of, you know, they're hands off from the risk assessment standpoint. They want to get, you know, get you in as quick as possible. The vendor wants to establish a relationship as quick as possible. And then we get in situations where the communication can interrupt the process. enhancing the process or making a stream, this whole idea of streamlining a one-size-fits-all risk assessment we've seen in these organizations ends up sort of slowing the process down, we've seen. Raising additional questions or causing defenders from adding additional countermeasures that really aren't doing anything to lower your overall risk profile. And putting those additional countermeasures in place can raise the cost the vendors have, which of course get in turn raised back to the cost of the people bringing the vendor on board. So there's some other things to consider. We've seen a lot of companies go with more of an online RFP submission process. Again, it streamlines, gets everything you need in one place, but there's no, the communication piece is missing in terms of, you know, just who do we ask when there are questions? Where, you know, yes, and they might have a place you put additional questions in terms of, you know, how you approach something. But a lot of times the right people aren't the ones that are going to be available to answer them at that stage of the process. The scope, like we said, in terms of the risk assessment, you can't really even take a look at the scope until we, you know, start with what's being done. You have, what is this vendor going to bring to us? What access are they going to have to our systems? What access are they going to have to our data? Are they going to have access to our customer data? Is the data they have access to really not that sensitive? Maybe it's just email addresses. Maybe it's very generic in terms of, maybe it's just first and last names. Although, I mean, to some companies that may be considered, you know, more sensitive than others. Maybe they will have access to sensitive customer information. Maybe they will have access to things that would be considered PII, but would be governed and regulated and so forth, credit card information that would fall under PCI. Yeah, at that point, then we understand that there is a greater risk. We need to, you know, look into it further. But how we go about in directing that risk assessment should be based on the relationship, what's going to be accessed, how they're going to be integrated into the organization, not just in a full-blown, I hate using the term over and over again, but one-size-fits-all, you know, approach to managing risk. Some other things that we've considered is, are perfectly legitimate vendors that could, you know, best serve the needs of organizations. Might they see this approach and, you know, they're like, well, we don't have this in place, and they're, you know, do they necessarily need to have those countermeasures in place all the time for what they're going to be doing? Are we, you know, are companies scaring off perfectly legitimate vendors that might come in at a, you know, better cost point that we don't need certain countermeasures in place, versus the ones that might do, but also are going to have a higher cost point and maybe miss the chance for working with a potentially better vendor, better product, and savings on the company's bottom line. One thing, in terms of this whole process, I seem to say it, sometimes it's, you know, too much efficiency can breed inefficiency in the process. You know, in terms of having an automated risk assessment profile, or forcing the company in the risk assessment stage for a vendor to have a specific answer, not being able to say not applicable. Many times we've seen risk assessments come through that are asking questions that, you know, it's yes, no, and put comments and justification in. But if you say no, you have to justify it. You aren't able to say not applicable to this scenario. And that can be very difficult whenever it is a not applicable, you know, situation. In terms of the timing of the risk assessment, you know, question, you know, does that really matter? Is that something that needs to be done, you know, sooner than later? I think, you know, dealing with the risk earlier on in the process is better. It will help streamline the bringing in of the vendor in the long run versus having it tailored to right when you're at the contract signing stage. And at that point, it can end up to slow down the process, and you're sitting there getting delayed, and things can't go through and fall through until everything's wrapped up in it. So definitely sooner than later is important. From a value standpoint, when we go and hopefully, you know, if we can sit down and personalize these risk assessments based on each individual vendor that you're bringing in within the organization, it can hopefully cut down your upfront time and resources, both on your vendor side as well as your organization side. I mean, you have time probably that information security, risk management, legal might be dealing with, procurement's involvement with it. So that's this cost savings from there in terms of unnecessary operating costs associated that could be potentially passed on to company bringing the vendor on, as well as I mentioned earlier. Are there unnecessary countermeasures that get put in place that really aren't mitigating any risks any more than they already are? Sometimes also, can the information be of the assessment data be misinterpreted? We've seen a good example in our organization. We're on the preventative wellness and preventative health side of things. And as soon as a lot of times, if all parties involved don't understand the terminology, they might think, as soon as they hear the term health, they might think in the United States that might mean HIPAA right away. But in the majority of cases, it doesn't necessarily mean that. You may have personal health information, but it might not be considered protected health information under HIPAA. In terms of in the EU, of course, you have the Data Protection Act, and where it's going to be more stringent over here. But just making sure everybody's on the same table and understands the terminology that's being sent around to minimize the potential impact of misinterpreting data, getting into unnecessary additional legal agreements such as HIPAA. You would end up, if you are holding PHI, you need to be in a business associate agreement. And now the business associates within the United States must be compliant just as the covered entities. So we've also seen where there's other been misinterpretations of legislation and regulatory compliance just because of certain terminologies that's used. So bringing everybody to the table early to get that out of the way as well as can help decrease the unnecessary scope to your risk assessment. Like I said, time. If you can bring the vendor in sooner, doesn't it make sense to start being able to utilize their services earlier on than having it drag out and drag out and maybe miss your windows of opportunity where the best rollout would be? All that said, there's some steps people can take. One is, encourage, don't discourage communication during the vendor assessment process. Seen sometimes where it's almost they want the RF, no one to be able to communicate with anybody but procurement during the process. And it's fine if we want to have channel all communications during the RFP process, but put it in place that the procurement has a direct channel to risk management, audit, legal, that those questions can be passed and accurately answered rather than letting them stem on, go unanswered, and create confusion down the line. Remember, consider each vendor's unique in terms of what they bring to the table, why you're bringing them to your organization, what they're going to do for your organization, how they're going to benefit you, how they're going to benefit the customers. And in all that, you'll understand, where the risks lie, what they're going to have access to, what they need access to. Is the current vendor risk management process helping to accelerate or decelerate business? Hopefully it's accelerating your business. The purpose of business is to make money. If your vendors are helping you in that process, the risk management process should also help you to accelerate the business, but not increase your risk profile at the same time. Don't assume your process is perfect. Everybody's process probably can be improved somewhere. When was the last time you, as an organization, have gone back and looked at your vendor risk assessment process? Many have, and they've gone towards automated. Maybe they've gone to an automated system or this giant Excel spreadsheet. But have you gone through it and really see, is it doing what you need? One step we've taken to sort of stop us from taking these one-size-fits-all approach is do an initial risk assessment that is shorter and smaller in scope that really goes and is done early in the process and really goes to look at what the vendor is bringing to your organization, what are they going to need access to, what they are already in compliance with, and if they are able to demonstrate that compliance. What systems of theirs might be either connecting to ours, is there software that's going to need to be installed in ours, but at a small scope level. And from that point, we can say, okay, look at that. It didn't take that long, long to complete. And now we can sit there and tailor our risk assessment approach in terms of, okay, we need to focus more on you're in compliance with certain regulations, or we need to focus on the fact that we aren't going to be handling sensitive, you aren't going to be handling sensitive information of ours. You may handle some of our information that we still consider confidential, and we're going to want to hold you to a confidentiality clause within our contracts, but it's not going to require us to go further in depth in terms of any further than this in terms of the risk assessment process, or we can limit what we need from them in the risk assessment process rather than throwing all this, all the unnecessary elements out there and getting a lot of information we have to sift through, go through unnecessarily and waste our time as well as our new vendor. Make sure all the stakeholders are involved, from the project manager at the client site that's running this and pushing this forward, their IS, their legal procurement, and of course on the vendor side, the appropriate people on their side. If there's a line of communication that's available there, it makes things go so much smoother, and making sure that everybody has the opportunity to communicate with everybody does make it a lot easier than going through a third party, if at all possible. Work with your current vendors that you have on board in terms of, you know, what they've seen, what's worked. Get some feedback from them. Always good. We always go out and look at customer focus groups. Do the same thing with your vendors in terms of things that experience feedback in terms of the process, that might be helpful to you as well. If you have any risk assessments you've already completed on your current system, and you're not, you may go back and revisit them. See if there's, put some unnecessary things in place that might be able to save you money but not increase your risk profile. Also, go back, and it's important to go back and review risk on a regular basis. We look at it in terms of at least annually, in terms of our vendors, to make sure nothing has changed on their end of things. And we have decided to utilize different services when we first took the contract out, that certain information wasn't being shared, but now it is. So it's important to go back and relook at those vendors, even though you've conducted that initial risk assessment. Hold the vendors accountable. Put the results of that risk assessment into the contract. Very few people will actually sit there and, they have stated that this is what we do as far as, managing risk and how it will work with your organization. Well, attach that to the contract. Then you have something to go back to. Well, you said you did, will do X, Y, and Z, or currently do X, Y, and Z. It is something that is there and something has been stated. And finally, I would say keep the lines of communication open. Encourage your vendors to communicate if there are any issues or concerns with risk management from the time that they're on being brought on board in the onboarding process to the time they're actually been working for you. That open line of communication, that openness between the two organizations will at least help and put things in perspective. If something does occur, you'll be able to deal with it in a much more efficient and appropriate manner than were in if you would keep those lines closed, of course, and end up in a situation where it might turn ugly, which you don't want it to do. Your vendors are there to help you. You're beneficial for the vendor. The vendor's beneficial for you. And hopefully that relationship can continue to grow without overkilling yourself on unnecessary risk assessments.